Listen now to the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they've laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she'd said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the good news. Well, it's been a while since we've worshipped on Easter together like this. 3 years, to be precise. The 21st day of April 2019 was the last time this congregation gathered in this sanctuary to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ with three-dimensional people in three-dimensional space in a way that feels anything close to what it used to be. And yet, it's not exactly the same. And that's a fact worth acknowledging. We've definitely been through some stuff recently, and our journey through the wilderness has produced dramatic changes in our lives. Truth be told, change is happening around us all the time. It's just part of what it means to be alive. But sometimes, changes are so sudden and so violent and so big that they really make us take notice. And this tumultuous period of the past few years has definitely been one of those times. We've lost so much that the extent of our losses, large and small, is hard to comprehend. Millions of lives ended by COVID globally, and almost a million here in the U.S. alone. We've lost loved ones, time with loved ones, jobs, our sense of safety and security, the opportunity to go places and do things, the chance to see people's faces in person, the simple joys of shaking hands or sharing a hug. We've also lost our patience, some measure of civility, and it seems much of our willingness to engage with one another across our differences. Sure, we've managed to reclaim a few things, to some degree anyway, the ability to gather, to worship, together, to sing, to go out to a restaurant, or, dare I say, even to travel. But we've done so in uncomfortable fits and starts, and we're constantly looking over our shoulders, waiting to see what the impact of the next variant will be. No doubt we've picked up a few new things along the way, too, some of which, quite frankly, we might want to leave behind at this point. Masks. Dry hands from all that sanitizer. Remote gatherings, which seems inherently contradictory, doesn't it? And terms like COVID, social distancing, hybrid worship, and yes, dare I say it, Zoom. I know. In many ways, Zoom has become the bane of our existence, but there's no denying that it's been a real lifeline too, enabling us to be together when there were no other means available for us to do so. Our newfound relationship with Zoom has, however, produced some unforeseen consequences. I was watching the news the other day and happened upon a story that was a real sign of the times. It was about the ways that our minds have changed over the past 3 years, ways we've only begun to consider as we return to some semblance of normalcy. One person who just recently started going into the office again lamented the fact that her ability to remember things, specifically other people's names, had diminished markedly, and for this, she blamed Zoom. Hadn't really thought about it much until now, she said, but for the longest time, there's been no need to know anyone's name because it always appears right underneath their image in that little box on the screen. Now, I need to remember who people are, and they need to remember me, too, and I'm afraid they won't. Laugh, if you will, but this seemingly insignificant experience highlights something profound, something inherent to being human, which is this: the hope that we will be recognized and understood for who we are, the fundamental need to be known. As today's Easter story from John's Gospel begins, Mary Magdalene arrives at Jesus' tomb alone in the silent darkness, overcome with great joy, but also with deep sadness. Not with great joy, but with great sadness. She sees that the stone has been rolled away from Jesus' tomb and assumes the worst, that his body has been taken away by grave robbers. It seems that there is yet another indignity to be borne by the one who's already suffered so much indignity. Blinded by her grief, Mary Magdalene cannot see what is really happening here. Who could blame her, really? She runs off to fetch Simon, Peter, and the beloved disciple. Surely they'll know what to do. They don't walk, but rather run back to the empty tomb, though we really don't know why they feel the sense of urgency. Maybe they somehow sense that there's more to all this than meets the eye. It's impossible to say for sure. Peter goes into the empty tomb. He's actually the first one to do so. He sees the linen wrappings and the cloth that covered Jesus' head lying on opposite sides of the tomb. But if Peter has any reaction whatsoever to what he's just seen, John doesn't ever really tell us what that reaction is. The beloved disciple also goes in to have a look around. John tells us that he saw and believed, but we don't know what he believed. We do, however, learn that these two men did not yet understand the meaning of the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. And so, grappling with their own sadness and confusion over all this weird stuff that's transpired, they've been through some stuff lately too. These two disciples decide to return home, leaving Mary Magdalene at Jesus' empty tomb to weep and mourn alone. As she's sitting there with only her grief and her tears to keep her company, a pair of angels in white arrive and ask Mary Magdalene why she's crying. She seems remarkably unfazed by their appearance, which seems kind of odd. I can't speak for you. I know I'd be a little freaked out if angels suddenly were to show up out of the blue and start asking me all sorts of questions. They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him, she replies to the angels. And then it happens. The resurrected Jesus appears for the very first time to Mary Magdalene, right there in the garden beside the empty tomb, but she doesn't recognize him. Maybe poor Mary's eyes were just so red and swollen from crying that she simply isn't able to see anything at this point. She literally cannot believe her own eyes. Even when Jesus then speaks to her, asking her the very same question that the angels did, she still doesn't recognize him. She thinks that the man standing in front of her must be the gardener. Once again, you can't really blame her. Jesus is dead, and people who are dead tend to stay dead. It's kind of strange that the angels and Jesus ask Mary why she's crying here. I mean, it's pretty obvious why she's crying, isn't it? Jesus is dead, and death always has the final say. Ah, except it doesn't anymore. That's the whole point of Easter, isn't it? Jesus knows full well why Mary's upset, and he's trying to console her. It's as if he's saying, why are you crying over me? I'm standing right here. But Mary's response to Jesus' question reflects her limited understanding of the strange reality of this really strange situation. Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I'll take him away, she says. Then in an instant, absolutely everything changes. Jesus said to her, Mary. And when that one simple word leaves Jesus' mouth, Mary's world becomes a much different place than it had been just 1 second earlier. Having been recognized herself, she's now able to recognize him. Her despair suddenly gives way to hope, and she runs off to proclaim excitedly to the other disciples, I have seen the Lord. All because Jesus, who knows her, calls her out by name. Look, the sad fact of the matter is that suffering and pain and sadness and death have always been and will always be part of our experience here on earth. While this may seem like an incredibly unfestive thing to say on a glorious day like this, it's true. But without the reality of death, there's really not much of a need for the miracle of Easter, is there? And therein lies the real promise of this incredible day. Amidst all of the terrible things that constantly affect our mortal lives, amidst all of the changes we would happily do without, Jesus calls out Mary's name, reminding us that he still lives, that we too shall live, that death will not, in fact, have the final word. Look, maybe you're able to hear Jesus calling out your name on a day such as this, in a place such as this. If you do, that's awesome. But what about on the other 364 days when the choir's gone home and the flowers have wilted and your Easter clothes are back in the closet? What about when you have to get up tomorrow morning and head off to work at that job you can't stand? What about when you've just received that diagnosis you've been dreading? What about when you find yourself sitting there alone, mourning all that you've lost? What happens when we, like Mary Magdalene, really need Jesus the most? The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of our risen Lord, is that we are never forgotten because God is constantly calling out to us. May we never stop listening, and may we remain open to receiving this great blessing of Easter today and every day. Alleluia. Amen.